Brian Blaine Hunt is my name, but my Calypso name is the God-fearing, mighty Alice of Man.
That's the voice of popular talk show caller and well-known local character Julian Hunt. His wife Anne has confirmed to us that he was discovered dead yesterday morning after battling with heart trouble for some time. He was 66 years old. Hunt had only been released from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital on Wednesday afternoon. He's well recognized as a builder who constructed several houses across the country, and as the man who introduced to Barbados the mini loader and excavator known as the Bobcat. On Brass Tacks and Voice of Barbados, he often reminisced on his background and experiences in the Close Brother in Church and his exploits in construction. On other occasions, the father of three could be seen at public functions, elaborately dressed and blowing a conch shell as he reveled in asserting his Barbadian identity and pride.
Come to Barbados for no plastic bag day, the 8th, this weekend coming up, 8th of May, and we're going to have a campaign. Now, I can blow my conch shell, which I always do, to remember the earth and the animal that lived in here.
Julian Hunt, described by his wife as one who truly loved Barbados, dead at the age of 66. For Starcom Network News, I'm David Ellis.
Good morning, and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Our condolences to the friends and family of the late Julian Hunt, who was one of the regulars on this program for many years. One of my most memorable exchanges with him was when, on one occasion, he talked about his life in the Brethren, the Close Brethren Church, about the difficulties that he perceived he had then and the impact that all of those experiences had on the rest of his life. There was no doubt, though, that in everything that he said, he was passionate about Barbados. And his is yet another loss to this program. There are so many people who have come and gone, and everyone, especially the regular voices, no matter how often people complain about the fact that they hear them, when they leave us, it is a significant blow to many of the people who are regular listeners to Down to Brass Tacks. May you rest in peace. Good morning. Let's take our first call today.
A blessing. Good morning to you, David. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm blessed. Now, David, let me extend my condolences to Mr. Hunt and his family. Now, Mr. Ellis, in my day, they used to teach us signs. There was the question mark, the equal sign, the plus sign, and you had to know what it means. There's also a sign called the Tier 4 sign, which was three dots. Remember that sign? Mr. Ellis?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Good. Now, I want to deal with something that is dear to my heart this morning. I did my investigation after getting certain information. Now, the Oberry Nursery School, which is in St. Philip, I am concerned for those students, the principal, and the staff at that school, in that it is nestled in a Tier 4 sign. When you leave the Oberry Nursery School and you come around the corner, and the next corner, there's a dump on the right-hand side that is known as the asbestos dump. And when you drive my camera in the other corner, you have another dump, which used to be operated by ready-mades. You see where I'm going with this so far, or you don't follow me? So that school is nestled in between three dumps, one of which carry asbestos, and I would like to know what is the contamination from the asbestos coming through the earth, how much mold has been put upon it. Because it might end up in a situation like Louis Lane School. You following me so far?
How long has the school been there?
Huh?
How long has that school been there?
About 3 years now. But nobody seems to do investigation of where to put a road, if you can put it to
Is the school on the former asbestos dump?
It is not far from there, 15
But
minutes
it is not. No. It is not on the former asbestos dump. Indeed,
what I am told
is that squatters are on what used to be the asbestos dump.
David,
that's what I am told.
Right,
so we need to be very careful here in how you deal with situations like this, because you can create a sense of alarm among people where none needs to exist, or alternatively, those of us who are ignorant or know about what took place and remain quiet can create an environment where something may occur. The best way of dealing with it, though, in my judgment, is to say that based upon what we know of what activity was carried on in close proximity, you would want to be assured by the relevant authorities that they have taken all of these things into consideration and that they can guarantee to us that the distance between the two is such that there is no need to fear. That's what I would do. Rather than give the distinct impression that because it's, according to you, 15 minutes away, it naturally follows that you're going to have a situation that is dangerous to the children and the teachers. I don't think that's the way for us to deal with it. And yeah, to draw the Louis Lynch comparison is particularly, dangerous.
Well, David, I was given the information. I went and do my homework.
You got some people will never come and say these things for themselves, but they will come and use people like you. Because you get the impression that you're one of these people big and bold, and you will come out on the air and you will have your say and speak on their behalf, and then they will sit down in a corner and say how tired they are of hearing your voice because yours is a regular voice.
Well,
they wouldn't do it with you. Huh? But the same person who sought to use you will then say of another regular caller how tired they are of hearing regular callers like him or her.
But, David, you might not realize this, or you might realize it, or you might be playing the devil's advocate. The regular callers is who keep this program going, whether people like it or not.
Yeah, but I ain't complaining, I'm just telling you.
I understand you.
That in all of these things, I know how people manipulate the system and use one another. And sometimes when you hear them out there criticizing one thing or the other, you need to check because sometimes they are the ones who are trying to manipulate the people and pull their strings.
No, no boy can't manipulate. I just draw
to
it
you?
Sorry, as a, huh?
Nobody can.
No, but I want to draw it to your attention and to the public attention of what I would investigate and saw. So
you're an investigator now?
But you don't got to do your homework, so how you would know? You've got to go and get the information.
Well, the ultimate in investigating the matter is that you call the relevant department and you check with them what information they have, and then you come and you can state conclusively that it is one thing or the other.
But, David,
that is what the investigation should do.
Yeah, but, David, you had a man this week that said he went to Rock Hall. He could tell how much light and power pole is there, how tall some is, how is down on the meter. You can't get when you're not even you as good as journalists anyways. Can't get the information from the Ministry of Health. You can't get none from the Treasury. You can't get none from nobody. And when you ask the ministers when to come on the program, our famous Minister Kelman, they go all over the place. They can never, ever give you a proper answer.
Why you go back to Mr. Kelman? Why you don't leave him alone?
No, because when you ask, he's saying about housing, he can never give you a proper answer.
He's former minister.
Right, but he never could get a proper answer. Right is right and wrong is wrong, in my opinion. Mr. Ellison, don't let me get no further. You have a pleasant and a blessed weekend.
Okay, you do too. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
How can we help you today?
I have a matter with the rural. The rural took some land from me to make a road.
How long ago?
Since 1991. And of this very moment, I'm not being compensated yet. They tell me that they're going to compensate me. I call in all the time. And they say they get to this stage, the next stage, and still I haven't been compensated. Right now, the director that is in control. He gone on vacation, left the deputy director. And the person who's dealing with it, and he's telling me that he's going to make sure that I get paid. And up to now, I haven't been paid yet.
What is the reason that they have given? Because there must be a good reason why that is so.
They say they're going to check it. They say that they're working on it. And up to now, I haven't been paid.
You know, one of the real experiences that I have out there in the community is it seems to me that many, many people in Barbados do not really appreciate what is happening in the country. I mean, one of the big issues that people like you have to confront is the fact that the government's financial situation is pretty tight and has been so for quite a long time. This would in turn then have implications for people who are owed money by government. Do you understand that that is part of what could be happening to you?
But.
But. What's the but? Yes.
This and this.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that they don't have the money, they should say so. What they're doing is promising me all the time. And this one particular man is bold enough to say, that is dealing with it, is bold enough to say, I do nothing for you to reject your free will.
Said he didn't do anything for you?
Uh-huh.
We see that what you're talking about is customer care. It is how the person that with whom you are interfacing responds to you in the circumstances. How does that person treat you? Because that's why I tell you that people who are at the highest decision-making level can come to the public and try to, you know, massage the people who are affected by various government decisions, give them reassurances and all of that. But they are not the ones that are in direct contact with the people on a daily basis. Many of those people, something seems to have gone terribly wrong in Barbados when it comes to business climate, the way that we communicate with one another and stuff. It is very, very disheartening to see where Barbados has gone. And people behave as though it is only a public sector problem, but it's not. It is much wider than that. And a guy like that will say, well, you know, too bad, you know, that I'm in the position of power and you depend upon me. So I can treat you anyhow because you're a little person down the road. I don't know you from Adam. I mean, in other circumstances, you will get a different approach. But that's part of it. I think Dennis Johnson wants to share. Oh, he doesn't want to share anything at this stage. But do you sense that? Is that the only place you go for service and feel as though you're badly treated?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I hear people complain about that at so many different levels. So many different levels.
But and the I, thing is, Mr. Ellis, these people are people like me and you.
Yes.
It's just they got more education than me, and they're working in the government, but they're still normal people. They should understand the needs of normal people.
You think they don't understand?
They don't understand.
So let me give you the counter that will come from them. Man, my boss or the people further up, they know all of my frustrations, but they do nothing about it. And as long as they continue to treat me like that, I can't care less. That is what they're going to tell you. There's always another reason why this person is behaving that way. And more often than not, they put the blame on the system. They put the blame on their colleagues. Particularly, they put the blame on their bosses, and the companies or the departments in which they operate.
But you know that before they come to this small amount of money that they have for me, they send surveyors, and we survey the area and come up with less measurements until they know sure that it is a small sum of money.
So you feel unfair. And on top of all of that, you feel unfair.
Yes.
That they have made a determined effort to end up paying you far less money than you think you deserve.
Yes. Yes. And I tell you, this thing has been going on for so long. It went to the rural, it went to the Ladakh, it went to housing. This thing went to a whole set of people. And not only that, the ombudsman and all. This thing went to
so many channels, and you still feel disadvantaged.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can give us any idea of how much money you believe you've lost based upon this reconfiguration which they have come up with?
That first when they came out, they said it's $24,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on, they set up measurements, set up surveys to survey the area, to put down different marks, and all these things. Until they get it to $800-something.
From $24,000 to $800?
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a drastic reduction. This puts us in the realm of a scenario here where you really would have to hear the other side of this, because on the surface, it sounds as though you have been unfair, but truth be told, there's got to be more to this than meets the eye. There's got to be more to it. But ultimately, though, you feel a lot of pain as a result of it.
Yeah. And the thing is that I'm a woman who suffers with a depression. And it didn't happen to me.
So you get medication and stuff for depression?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, there are so many people in the country who are going through that other problem as well. Very few people actually come and publicly tell you that this is what is happening to them. But I'm at a loss as to what I can tell you, except this. The people with whom you interact in the agency perhaps need to be a bit more sensitive to people generally, because they wouldn't know you just by seeing you. They wouldn't know that you're the woman who called Brass Tacks today. But they should treat every woman that comes into rural and every person who comes into rural as though that person was you, with the possibility of having to deal with the other issues in life that confront them. And a lot of work really needs to be done. I suppose just call it emotional intelligence, that we need to stimulate more emotional intelligence in all of us as people coming into contact with one another and on a daily basis. You know, you could wake up a morning and be like the person serving you. When they meet the customer, the customer's attitude and behavior is so bad that it can mar the whole day for that service provider. So many times we talk about it only from the point of view of what the customer experiences. But the customers also behave very badly and put those who are providing the service in a position where they can feel as though, you know, why did I come to work today? So all of that is part of it. And I'm thankful that you you drew it to our attention because, you know, it is really one of the major concerns that people are expressing. This thing about the ease of doing business is not just a question of how quickly and how efficiently you can get something done. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. This person says that they want somebody to come and tell the people who have been affected by the cut in disability benefits exactly what is going on. They're saying here that hard or soft, let us organize our life to suit. And then the writer concludes by saying that if they knew that this was going to happen, when they got injured on the job, they would have sought legal advice and sued the government of Barbados. It really is important to come forward and let these people know what is going on. And what is going on in other areas matters as well. I think I raised a couple of days ago the fact that the Light and Power Company had put out information about some problems it was facing. At the time, Light and Power did not spell out to the public what exactly the problem was or how serious an issue it is. We are in a situation right now where it has publicly made statements about generation issues. But I think a bit more is required in these circumstances. Only this week, I heard Senator Rudolph Cappy Greenidge in the Senate lauding the Light and Power Company and the Barbados Water Authority for their former efforts in trying to keep the public aware of what was going on. And he spoke specifically to two individuals, calling them by name, to say that they did an outstanding job in that regard. I think part of what we face in Barbados is that far too much of what has to be done is related to an individual. If that individual is no longer there, you find that the practice is discontinued. It is not done with the same degree of efficiency. It is not done to the same level. And organizations, we are all challenged in that regard. And really the objective is to try as best as you can to create an environment where there is a company standard, a government standard, a departmental standard. If that does not happen, then you have a problem. I wanted to engage Dennis Johnson on it because sometimes you raise these issues and you wonder, am I the only person seeing this thing this way?
Well, David, I was trying to get some information for you because I got a note this morning saying that there was going to be a media conference at 10:30 at the Barbados Light and Power Company, and that the media would be addressed on this issue. Okay. I was trying to see if we could have linked with them, and I was told that unfortunately we couldn't get in live to that media conference that they're having. So I'm trying to get some information as to who's taking part in the media conference and how to get the information on air or get some engagement on it. So I'm trying to get that sorted out on this end.
Well, the other thing I wanted to discuss with you, I mean, we're discussing a lot of things in Barbados that are seen as so domestic. But other things are happening around us that have implications for us. I did a piece this morning on the question of plastic bottles. You will see that an airport in San Francisco has decided that it is going to take plastic bottles out, and you will have to take your own container to get the water. Because As I was discussing with somebody here, a person involved in the distribution trade, and they were talking about the volume of plastic bottles that Barbados has. And when you look at it is one of the bigger issues. And we've gone so far in the use of plastics worldwide, and we here in Barbados as well, that to me it looks as though it is an overwhelming problem to turn back right now. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, David, one of the things that we in Barbados attempted to do at one point was to turn those bottles into, I think they were going to use tiles or make tiles or something out of them. And they've tried to find other ways of compressing and using the plastic. We've become so accustomed to them. I don't think we pay attention to whether it says you can or cannot reuse bottles. I see a lot of them being used, for example, in the coconut water trade and in various other trades. The question is the importation, use, and then reuse or discarding of containers in general. And I don't think we have a policy that deals with it. And unless we spend time either researching or finding ways to process and reuse the amount of plastics we generate on a daily basis, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of problems because we can no longer just export them. The question of where we store them until we export them or get them out of the way is becoming, I think, hazardous in general. Our entire waste disposal system, let me put it that way, needs to be relooked and some order brought to it. We've outlived the buried under the earth. We can't find, I think, any more holes to fill up. And we're just generating waste with having no idea of what we're going to do with it. And we can't export it.
But we have so many complex issues. A small country with such a mix of serious issues confronting it. Garbage, not just the collection, but the growth of so many items to dispose of, the absence of a clear plan. And to some extent, you feel as though you don't have all the resources that are required to be able to fix it. This is something that the Caribbean community should be looking at across the board. This is not just a Barbados problem. Correct. I saw a story out of St. Lucia in which they were expressing a concern there about they've had to close a landfill there. Every Caribbean country is facing a similar issue, and everybody appears to be trying to fight it on an individual basis.
The typical Caribbean reaction. David, that's the problem. We have a situation in the Caribbean where we have this apparatus that's supposed to work to the benefit of quote-unquote member nations. But every time you have a change of government, every time you have a change of political party or alignment of political parties, you seemingly have this disconnect. It has happened over and over.
It gets worse, though, because I must tell you that only this morning I was listening to a focus on this G7 summit that is coming up this weekend in France. And one body of opinion is that whole movement is now in a state where it can't really call no shots.
Correct.
And then when you go to the G20, it is even more difficult because there are fewer. You can't get consensus, and that the whole world order, this is really part of the challenge that you face. This whole world order seems to, people no longer see eye to eye in the way that they were seeing eye to eye, let's say, in the last 20 years ago or so. We are now in a state of real confusion, if not chaos. Well, let's get your views. Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome.
Okay.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
All right, well, I'm waiting until somebody comes to me then.
Waiting for what? The bus? I tell you, you're on the air already.
No. Oh, dear, this is Brastax?
Yes. You are on the air to Brastax.
Uh-huh.
Who or what are you waiting for after this? Will you call a boat? You sure you got the right place? Turn off the radio. That's the first problem. Down to Brastax. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I am bad. What about you this morning?
I am okay.
All right. I was just hearing this right now. You talking about plastics.
Yeah.
There is still markets for plastics.
Where?
It's called PET bottles. Well, I still shipping plastics to China every single week. They close the door on what we call the low-end plastic, which is the plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
But did they close it on the PET bottles? Did they close it on the lard oil bottles, the oil bottles, and the Clorox and Squeezy and Dizzy Clean and all? And then they close them, but they're still shipping them. And the very covers, every plastic cover that we can put our hands on, we shred it and ship it.
Remember this. This situation can be highly dynamic. And one day you can be shipping, and tomorrow... There can be for some reason, that door can be closed to you, as has happened with other things.
So I agree with that.
How do you see this industry moving? Where do you see it going in that regard? What are the things that we have to do here to address it?
I would like to see we go into manufacturing with this plastic. You see where these people would take these things and make items with them? We can do the same, so that we don't have to slow down the imports on chairs and even plastic wood that can be made from these things. But to get to that stage is to find a home.
A home for who? You mean you?
That's right.
That's B's Recycling.
No, that's correct.
No, you need to find a home.
That's correct. Okay.
You're like the boll weevil.
There are people that are willing to come and spend some money along them lines and put down plants to deal with this year. Because at the end of the day, there are still people out there with plants that because China and other places close the door, will they just snatch at the plant a bit somewhere and come in with the expertise and do something with it.
So what is your difficulty in finding a plant?
Not finding a plant, finding a home.
Finding a home.
Man, I don't know. I believe behind the dark cloud now there's a silver line. I'm saying that I know that silver line is there. It's just a matter of, somebody getting up one morning and say, okay, that's got to be done.
Well, my question is that business people are expected to be able to understand the environment in which they're operating when they enter into a business venture. And that environment requires that you not only know the literal landscape, but the figurative landscape as well. And to what extent, therefore, would you say that you missed the mark in retrospect, that you embarked upon a project, but you weren't completely ready for that project? How do you, there is that interpretation that can be given to it.
That is correct, but I ain't saying that he wasn't ready. He was always ready. He was all. I don't really want to open my mouth that kind of way, right? But I know that we're more than ready. Okay, we're more than ready.
But if you were more than ready, let's be reasonable about this. You wouldn't be having the issues that you're facing right now, which means that you have a plant, but you don't have a home. You have a plant in an environment where people are uncomfortable, you know, and you've been fighting these battles with various politicians, political parties, and technocrats
for too long.
Which means that you didn't understand the environment in which you were going to be operating, or were you misled?
Don't put that in my mouth at all. I ain't saying so at all. This is Barbados.
And what is Barbados? To the average Barbadian who is being encouraged by government to become involved in a business venture today, tell that person what is Barbados there for?
I would tell that person to
their face
and open the eyes wide. You gotta open the eyes wide, because as he thought it looked a little too good, sometimes it's a little too good for him.
But isn't often. That, let me, Paul, isn't okay. that isn't and that then, part of the competitive environment?
Man, I ain't got no problem with that. I don't even have a problem with the waste energy plant if it should come. You know what I got a problem with? If you can cost me money when the month comes. If you can tell me that I got to jump my hand in my pocket to support it, then I don't want a part of that. And I hope I'm not alone.
To support the waste energy thing?
Yes. That's the part that I don't want.
Oh, that one stimulates you. The notion of a waste energy plant got you stimulated.
No. The home. Give me the home and let me do my thing.
Because if there's a waste energy plant, your recycling plant done.
Now, I ain't telling you so at all.
No, you tell me.
The last one that was due to come, they came to me and they asked me what it is they want. And they tell me what they want from me and that kind of thing. And they was willing to work with me. I ain't got no problem working with anybody that coming. Okay? So that don't frighten me. What I need is to get that little home so that we can...
Well, who's to give it to you? Work.
Come on. It ain't about give. Nobody not give you nothing. Nobody gives you nothing. It's pen to paper.
But who is to facilitate it?
Man, I can get there, man.
You can get there. The Let me tell you something. Look, you got you are in a competitive environment. I understand, for instance, that the big operators in the retail trade right now, the supermarkets, under tremendous pressure. That some of them that were getting markups of up in 30%, that is what I am told, are now finding that the market has changed markedly. Indeed, one guy said to me that it may no longer make sense to send his truck to small shops in Barbados to deliver goods, because the small shops are going to a particular supermarket that is now a wholesaler, and it makes more sense for them financially to take their own transportation and go to that particular supermarket and buy and come back out to sell than to take goods from his truck. So all I'm saying to you is, in this environment, it is dynamic, it is changing significantly, people are under a significant pressure, and from what I'm gathering, so-called big players are finding that emerging players are starting to nip at their heels. So isn't that the nature of business?
Mr. Ellis, yes. Life is about changes. You have to change to adapt. Look, you know what you just said to me?
Mm-hmm.
You just remind me of the cell phone. You know that we have not know how really to control a cell phone in the hands of a child. That is why the school's got so much problems. Okay, everybody wants cell phone, and cell phone is the world it is. Any part of the world. But we put it in the hands. Okay? So then you tell me about these supermarkets or something. Man, them fellas gonna fall in line and find a hole. There's a door. Every time a door shut, a window's open.
Well, the issue of cell phones is very disturbing. I want to say this.
Well, that's what I'm telling
because
you.
Because I think that the authorities need to move with a greater degree of haste to address that particular issue. Because,
right.
I mean, you got these companies that are involved in promoting and selling as many cell phones as possible, but there is no provision whatsoever for collecting the bad ones and the batteries and all of that. And we are really creating a potential problem here.
No, batteries is no problem. You just take the batteries, Mr. David, man.
You take the batteries? But who else knows that everybody knows that you take batteries? But you don't advertise. You don't even advertise the fact that you take batteries.
Man, that is, you may be right in saying so.
Well, of course. A lot of people wouldn't know that.
But, man, a lot of people know that we take batteries.
That is true, but a lot don't know.
And let me tell you something. They also should know that we also pay about $12 for batteries too. Not a cell phone battery. So don't rush in there.
You mean a cell phone battery?
I'm talking about vehicle batteries.
Well, do you take cell phone batteries too?
Yes, we take the cellular battery there, the cell phone.
And then you send the cell phone battery back out to the country?
My battery is in a big demand right now, so we send it back out.
Okay. So you should be able to find a home.
Man, I don't...
Anyhow, let's get into that here, because I can recognize that once we start to deal with the intricacies of why you don't have a home, you got to retreat, because most likely there's information that you can't share with the public, okay? We understand that. But when you say this is Barbados, I understand what you mean, okay?
Yeah,